Our sermon reading today comes from Matthew 7, beginning at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As my kids are getting older, I'm starting to think more and more about the day when I will have to start teaching each of them how to drive. And, it kind of seems like driving cars maybe is getting more and more complicated. I don't know, maybe seems that way to me. Our family likes to take road trips. And as we spend hours on the road, we start to notice all the warning signs that pop up. Seems like there's more and more warning signs for different things. We all know the classic ones, right? Bump ahead. Watch for falling rocks, deer crossing, road work ahead, watch for icy roads, dip ahead. It always seems like you wait for this dip and then there's never like a dip, or it's like why is there a sign here? But then if you do enough traveling, you start to run into some really unique and unusual warning signs. Here are some I found online. We saw this one on our trip out west along the Pacific Ocean, tsunami hazard zone. Or in different parts of the country, turtle crossing. I like this one I found online. It's for semis that might be too tall for the upcoming bridge. This one said, if you hit this, you'll hit the bridge. Yeah. And then with some warning signs, sometimes you don't even know what they're trying to tell you. Had a little, spelling mistake there. This one's a little confusing, right? Turn right to go left. And then I don't even know what this, I guess just stay there, I don't know. Well, the reason I bring up warning signs today is because this is exactly what Jesus is talking about today as well. We have just a few weeks left in our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. And to conclude his sermon, Jesus is going to give us a series of different warning signs, four different warning signs. Throughout his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been showing us what the kingdom of God is like. We've described it as his upside-down kingdom. And he's also been showing us what it means for us as citizens of his kingdom to walk his kingdom way. And so we could think of these warnings from Jesus as warning signs along the kingdom way, telling us what to watch out for, what to beware of on the road ahead as we seek to live in God's kingdom way. Today we're looking at this first warning from Jesus. And in this first warning, he tells us really what the road is like. And he warns us also, though, that we may be straying from the kingdom way if we notice certain characteristics about the road that we find ourselves on. So let's read this. I want to read this verse one more time, these verses. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Jesus basically tells us here that we should be taking the narrow gate and the hard road, and we need to beware of the wide gate and the easy road. Now, of course, the first question is, well, what are these gates and roads that he's talking about, and why are some of them harder or easier? Well, he doesn't specify what he means exactly, but I think it's fair to assume that what he's referring to here has to do with the things he's been talking about previously in the Sermon on the Mount, which all have to do with the kingdom of God, and what it means to walk in the kingdom way. And Jesus, he offers here a choice between the hard and narrow way and the wide and easy way. Well, all throughout his sermon, Jesus, he's been asking us to make choices. For example, early on in his sermon, right? Will you be the light of the world and let your light shine, or will you hide it? Will you follow God's commandments on a deeper level from your heart or not? How will you pray? Will you pray to be seen by others or to be seen by God? Will you store up earthly treasures or heavenly treasures? Who will be your master, God or money? Will you trust God and seek his kingdom first, or will you worry and seek to raise up your own kingdom first? Will you get revenge and do back to others what they did to you, or will you do to others what you wish they would do for you? Living as a citizen of God's kingdom is about making daily choices, Right? After all, we've talked about how Jesus' kingdom is upside down. And so will you choose his upside down kingdom and live counterculturally, or follow the existing culture of this world, which is Satan's kingdom? And so the message that Jesus is sending us is this. One way that you can know that you're walking in my kingdom ways is that the road will be hard. Everything that I've asked you to do will be hard. And on the other hand, here's the warning sign that you might be living outside my kingdom ways. If you find that it's become easy to be a follower of Jesus, then perhaps you're on the wrong road, the road to destruction. I want to dig into this passage a little more today and uncover the depth of what Jesus is talking about. If you notice, this choice Jesus gives us actually involves four different elements. There are two roads, two gates, two crowds, and two destinations. And I want to look at each of these today. First, Jesus says there are two roads, two ways. One road is easy. That word there, that Greek word there, means broad, spacious, roomy. The other road is hard. That word can also mean narrow, or something that presses in on you, encumbers you. Makes me think of two different hiking trails, right? Some hiking trails are easy. They're newly paved. It's a nice smooth walk. All the brush has been cut back well away from the path, so there's nothing to inhibit you. And the path is so wide that, you know, 4 to 5 people can walk across from it. And also, since it's so wide and easy, anyone can take it. Walkers can take it, people on bikes, rollerblades, skateboards, maybe even people on scooters and segways. But then I think of that other kind of hiking trail. Not only is it not paved, but it's rough, right? It has rocks and roots and mud you need to trek through. My wife and I did some hiking this weekend, and I tripped like 3 times in a row because I was trying to look at my map, but there were rocks all over it. This path, it's also narrow. You have to walk single file. It's overgrown. You have to maybe even push through branches and brush, and maybe you have to even cut through it at times. And the only way to traverse it is on foot. And Jesus says, walking in my kingdom way is this kind of way. It's hard. It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It has obstacles. It has boundaries and limits. John Stott says it like this. It is a fact that revealed truth imposes a limitation on what Christians may believe and revealed goodness on how we may behave. What he's saying is that God has shown us in Scripture what is true and good. In Scripture, he's shown us what's true about God and Jesus and creation and humanity. And he shows us how he desires us to live and what right is and wrong are according to his intentions. These are the boundaries. He has shown us this narrow way to live and to believe. But on the other hand, the wide road has no boundaries, no guidelines, no parameters of truth. Of the wide path, John Stott says this. He says, there is plenty of room on it for diversity of opinions and laxity of morals. It is a road of tolerance and permissiveness. It has no curbs, no boundaries of either thought or conduct. Travelers on this road follow their own inclinations, that is, the desires of the human heart in its fallenness. Right? And in this way, this wide road's easy. You simply believe what you want to believe, live however you want to live. No one's stopping you from doing what you want to do. Go with the flow of the crowd. Do what everyone else is doing. The other thing I want you to notice about these two roads is the absolute nature of this choice. There's no middle ground. There are only two possibilities. There's not a third trail. There's just the easy road and the hard road. And you have to take one. You can't take both, and you can't abstain from making a choice. You are on one path whether you've consciously chosen it or not, and you're decisions in life reveal the way you've chosen. And so that's the two ways. Jesus also talks about two gates. Similarly, you have a wide gate and a narrow gate. And for those listening to Jesus, this imagery probably brought to mind the walls of Jerusalem, which had a number of gates or entrances. Some of these gates were wide enough for, you know, animals, wagons to be driven through, many people at a time. And some were narrow with steps that only pedestrians could get through at one at a time. And there's a sense here from Jesus that this gate is somewhat hidden, right? He says, few few find it. It's not the obvious way to go. If you just drift along with the flow of traffic, you're going to miss it. You have to intentionally seek this gate. You might have to go against traffic to access it. It's not the most obvious, not the most convenient way in. And therefore, if you want to find the way into God's kingdom, you have to pursue it. You have to step out of the flow of traffic and do the opposite of what everyone else is doing. You have to choose to not go where they are going and instead find the narrow gate. There are also two destinations. Jesus tells us the wide gate and the easy road leads to destruction, and the narrow gate and the hard road leads to life. This is where these roads take you. These are the end destinations. And I think Jesus, he's referring here, it's both physical and spiritual. If you're on a path that is outside the way of his kingdom, it leads to destruction. Because this is the way of the world and the way of Satan's kingdom. It's the way of sin and death. We heard these words from Jesus in our first reading. He said, "Very truly, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Living in sin, living outside of God's ways, it will destroy us, both physically and spiritually. This is Satan's desire, his intention for us. As he says, Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus comes to give us life. His way leads to life both now and in eternity. Ultimately, we know that faith in Jesus leads to eternal life. That's our future. But even in the present, life is found in Jesus. And that doesn't necessarily mean prosperity. Jesus doesn't promise us a life of health and wealth and unhindered happiness. But it does mean a life of fulfillment and purpose and assurance that God our Father is with us, giving us all we need to face the ups and downs of life. And then finally, there are also two crowds. On the wide gate, the easy road, is a huge crowd, a multitude, a horde of people. Jesus says, many take it because it's the obvious choice, right? Everyone is living this way, so they think it must be the right choice. It's easy, it's convenient, it's fun, it's effortless. But then on the narrow gate, the hard road, it's not really a crowd, but a few. Compared to the crowd on the easy road, this feels deserted. And why not, right? Why would you take the stairs up 100 floors when you can take the elevator? Well, because it's God's way. And living in God's way is hard. Now, there are some really extreme examples of this in history, of these kind of two crowds on the easy road or the hard road. Think about slavery in America for a minute. What we had for a time was broad cultural acceptance of slavery from the vast majority of people, while few opposed it. Or another example is Nazi Germany, right? Many, many Germans were enthusiastic, supported Hitler's ideology of extreme nationalism and anti-Semitism and territorial expansion, while very few Germans actively opposed it. And think about these examples, though, slavery and Nazi Germany. In both cases, there were many people who wanted to be in the middle, right? They didn't like slavery, but they didn't actively do anything to oppose it. And there are many Germans who didn't like seeing what was happening to their Jewish neighbors, but they didn't do anything to oppose it or support their neighbors. But again, as Jesus shows us, there's no middle ground. There are only two choices. And so by staying silent, by not doing anything, what they really displayed was then an acceptance of it. They found themselves going with the flow of the crowd and staying on the easier road. By not choosing the hard road, they chose the easy road. And we can understand why, right? It was dangerous, it was unpopular, very hard road to oppose slavery or Nazi Germany. Now, these are examples of, you know, real ways these verses can be lived out. And I think we get these, right? We can connect with them. We can see clearly how one road leads to destruction and the other to life. And we can all look back on history and put ourselves in that context. And we hope we would find ourselves on the hard road and standing up for what is right. But what I also want you to understand today is that what Jesus is teaching us here, it doesn't just apply to the really hard examples, the really extreme examples, but also to the everyday ones. And in many ways, this can be harder for us because it's harder for us to see the life and death impact of choosing to live in God's kingdom way in the little things. But God calls us to walk the hard road in everything. Take the hard road when it comes to how you treat others, even your enemies. Take the hard road, Jesus says, when it comes to how you spend your money. Take the hard road when you're faced with peer pressure. Take the hard road in your commitment to me, in your commitment to prayer. Take the hard road when you seek to love others as you love yourself. Take the hard road when you're faced with the decision to follow your own desires or to follow God's commandments. Take that hard road and shine the light of Jesus to your friends, to your coworkers, to your neighbors. Right? Following Jesus is hard. And so I think one of the most important but also humbling questions we need to ask ourselves is, has following Jesus made my life harder? And I think the answer to that question will tell you a lot about whether or not you're on the easy road or the hard road. And the truth is, you know, at times we all find ourselves on the wide and easy road. We all fail. We all give in to our temptations and desires. We all have moments of weakness where our selfishness, our anger, our idolatry take control over us. But thanks be to God that we have a good shepherd in Jesus. We have a good shepherd who forgives our sin and leads us back to the right path. And so we need to throw ourselves at the mercy of Jesus. Throw ourselves at the mercy of our good shepherd. Pray, ask him to help you take the hard road. Ask him to help you live in his upside down, countercultural kingdom ways. Keep an eye on the shepherd and follow him wherever he leads you. Let's pray.